her vision was to create a foundation, and we created the Community Partnership Foundation in 2020. And what that does is we identify need in the community through an application process, and we offer two rounds of grants throughout the year that range anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 a year we give out to nonprofits in need in our community.
This is Behind the Vault, where we study the best in community banking. On this show, we talk with community bank and credit union leaders about their approaches, challenges, and successes in serving their communities in today's world. I'm your host, Rich Edwards. Our aim is to highlight and strengthen one of the most essential parts of our economy, the community financial institution. Stick around at the end of the show to learn how you can be a guest on Behind the Vault. And now, on with the episode. Community involvement is always the hallmark and cornerstone of any credit union or community financial institution. But what does it look like when you go beyond things like youth sports sponsorship and get into really important impact that not just leverages the resources and the people of your institution, but really rallies the whole community together? To talk about their approach to that, we have with us today Ryan Harvey. Ryan is the CEO of Family Trust FCU of Rock Hill, South Carolina. Family Trust is a $700 million credit union that has its origins in York County in 1957, but it is expanding geography. Ryan, thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
So I think one of the things that's interesting is how much you guys have really leaned into your community involvement and what you're doing. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about the background, like the scope of what Family Trust does for the Rock Hill community?
Yeah, absolutely. So it starts well before my time. Previous CEO was in the role for 37 years, and his vision was a lot in the teaching education field. So we started a teacher grants. I think it's been well over a decade where teacher grants started. And then more recently, our CEO, she wanted to expand outside of just teachers. Hey, there's more to the community than teachers. There are a lot of people in our community that need help. So her vision was to create a foundation, and we created the Community Partnership Foundation in 2020. And what that does is we identify need in the community through an application process. And obviously, the Credit Union Family Trust is a major sponsor of the foundation, but we get funds throughout the community, other businesses. And we offer two rounds of grants throughout the year that range anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 a year we give out to nonprofits in need in our community.
So what is the I guess, for lack of a better word, charter or grant or strategy for the organization? What are they trying to do? Like, what types of organizations do they give grants to?
Yeah, so the mission is to basically make the community that we serve better of the foundation, and it can be any need. And so as part of the application process, we ask them to provide a short video of what is the nonprofit mission that is applying for the grant. Where will the funds go? And we also ask about administrative costs. So we're looking for true nonprofits, volunteerism in the community that need funding. And the big reason we ask for that is we want the funds to stay in our community. So not against these national conglomerate, you know, nonprofits, you think, Red Cross or big conglomerates like that. We generally don't look to give to those. They have national funding and they're national. There's no way to keep those funds in our community. So we really look to local nonprofits, where we know our dollars are needed and our dollars go back to help the people that we serve from a credit union perspective, as well as just in the community with our kids or our families that we know.
So, I mean, it's interesting from the standpoint because you have a lot of very small organizations, nonprofits, community organizations, et cetera, that, you know, are much more grassroots in nature and often get overlooked from a fundraising standpoint, because, you know, their organization only touches a local small community, maybe like right. One county or several zip codes. So your position in that, in the community, in your county, gives you that insight into who's here that is getting overlooked, who's here that's having the impact, but maybe doesn't have, like you said, like a national organization that kind of provides a lot of branding and cover for them.
Right. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach, I guess, for lack of a better term, the small guy. There's, I can't even think of, we had 34 applications. I think it was this past fall. We do it spring and fall. We do it twice a year where we have an application window of about 2 months for people to apply, goes through a grading process. Everybody everybody's application is reviewed by at least two different individuals, mainly board representation of our foundation, but also other people can volunteer to be on the grading committee. We take those applications, and one of the key cogs is, where are these funds going, and show us what is your need? How much money do you bring in on an annual basis from a fundraising standpoint? And we kind of flip the script. We want it to be where our funds are priority. They really need our funds. It's not, hey, I got $50,000 down the road and I got $100,000 from this other sponsor or whatever it is. We want our funds to really be a driving force that helps this nonprofit strive. So food pantries for homeless, homeless shelters, Men's Haven, Pilgrims Inn. We have a lot of mentorships. So a lot of young adults trying to be mentored or helping the younger youth in our community. A lot of them are startups. So a lot of times we just had one. The nonprofit was a father and daughter, and they were wanting to just bring awareness to helping young women without a mother and how to grow up in that setting. And they started a foundation, and we like helping them get known and helping people understand that they can help in the community. Another one was called Chasing the Wake, which a family, it was a husband and wife, started the foundation for their son who overdosed on, fentanyl. He overdosed on fentanyl.
Okay, fentanyl, yeah.
Yep. And they started the foundation in his honor. His name was Chase, and he liked to wakeboard. So that was the founding of that foundation. And the dad said, you know, this I never envisioned myself doing this, but to bring awareness to people and to understand that this is a real thing in any community is why we started this foundation. And it was a husband and wife, and I think their younger daughter is getting involved now. But what they do is they partner with Keystone, which is a rehabilitation center, and they provide clean clothes for people in rehab, and they supply the ability for them to go learn how to wakeboard so they can spend their time doing something other than possibly fentanyl or other drugs, and giving to their nonprofit. That nonprofit's only been around, I think, since 2021. Unfortunately, their son passed, I believe, in 2021, and they created the foundation. And giving to that through our application, that's huge. I mean, it directly impacts the community. It makes it real.
So it sounds like a lot of the focus is, I mean, obviously the geography, the closeness to your community, and making sure that the impact and the money kind of stays within the community. But it's also almost like you're a seed investor at this point, looking for things that are early on in their career that haven't maybe gotten a lot of traction yet, and, you know, are vulnerable, I guess, from lack of a better say, you know, things that kind of need that oomph to kind of get them going.
Yeah, I don't think we looked at it like that, but that's a good point. We really looked at it as helping the people that may not necessarily survive without maybe the ability or that seed money, as you said. It was more of a lot of times those conglomerates will overlook maybe a smaller community, and Rock Hill's not a huge community. And you get outside of the city of Rock Hill, which, you know, we're 20 miles from Charlotte, but you get outside of this and it gets a little bit more rural, and you don't have as much of the funding that gets out into those things. So, I was on, boards of those conglomerates before, and then a lot of times it always rolls up to the large city. So, in this situation, most of those not large nonprofits, they're out of Charlotte. And so does the funding really come across the border down into South Carolina? And that was kind of the idea behind the foundation, is how do we get money to stay in our community and make sure that it goes to the need in our community? Because every community has a need. But sometimes those communities get overlooked, or they don't have a resource in their market to help them. So that was really a driving force, is to make a difference in the community that we serve. And we serve York County, South Carolina. And so that's why we make sure that our funds stay in York County, South Carolina.
So a lot of the examples you gave as far as the organizations that end up making grants and supporting seem to be in the health and human services area, like that aspect of things.
I would say a lot of them fall into that realm. There's another one, mental health is a big thing. There's a NAMI, which is the name of the organization in our area. They're big into supporting mental health. They generally apply and are granted, they're an applicant for our grants. Like I said, there are so many, we can't give them to all. I mean, it's just not, we don't have endless money, but we try and give to as many as we can through our application process. Like I said, this past application window is 34. I think 16 received funding. So unfortunately, more than half didn't receive funding. But we do always reach out to the people that do not receive funding. And we say, hey, next application window is here, which we're currently in an application window, February 15th to April 15th. You go to the communitypartnershipfoundation.org website and you can apply right there for a grant. But again, the main stipulation is to be in our community and provide those funds in our community.
So this organization, it's a completely separate 501c3, correct?
Correct. It is 100% separate from the credit union. The only interaction we have is we do supply space and administrative. So our staff will help from administrative, but the board of directors is totally separate from the credit union. No board of directors. They're all volunteers of the foundation, and none of them are associated with the credit union in any manner.
And so other than providing funds, what else do you do to kind of support the organizations? I know you said you had mentioned you'd done some fundraising with other organizations and kind of coordination from that standpoint, right?
Yeah, we hold an annual golf tournament, and a lot of that is to raise funds for the foundation. We also just started I'll probably butcher it. Our marketing manager will kill me. So Spread the Love Luncheon. So she holds it on Valentine's Day. She invites nonprofits in the community to come and celebrate and get all the nonprofits in one room to share their stories. So they come, they share what their mission is, why are they in the community, what they do for the community, and what impact they make in the community. And it's an opportunity to raise funds and to hopefully, we also give out our grant winners at that luncheon. So it's definitely a PR event as well, but it's an opportunity to raise funds as well. So other businesses in our community will pay to buy a table to have representation there, or we always challenge people to give that day, give to the foundation so we can improve the lives of our community. So this past, we raised $4,000 at that luncheon just this month. It was a couple of weeks ago. So we raised $4,000 that day where people gave to that day. We allow people to donate, do good is the mantra. You can $10 a month, you can give one time, you can give biannually, you can give whatever you want. And then you have a say. And then what we do is we reach out to you and say, hey, do you want to grade the application? Do you want to understand where your money's going? Or do you want to understand or have impact in the community through that? And we get pretty good response to that. The golf tournament is definitely the biggest fundraiser. I think we raise after you pay all the expenses, golf courses aren't cheap, but usually around $30,000, I think we make off of that event, and then we give out to two or three nonprofits the proceeds from those events.
And who else are you like bringing into the organization? Who else are you kind of like bringing along besides Family Trust to bring that in there? Is this like business relationships within the bank? Is it broader than that?
It's broader than that. It started with smaller businesses. We're a credit union that's really not into business services. Most of our membership is truly consumer-based. We have probably less than 100 business accounts, and of those, most of them are probably DBAs or sole proprietorships where it's individual. So that isn't really, it really wasn't our target. It was more of just getting known in the community and saying, hey, look at what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring all these nonprofits together and understand the impact they made. And what we found the luncheon or at the golf tournament is these nonprofits are now starting to partner with each other. So an example was, and I apologize, I don't know all the top the names of every nonprofit, but there is one, I believe it's Power of Progeny, is a nonprofit that is a mentorship. But then another nonprofit that they learned through our grants was they do technology for at-need children that maybe can't afford the technology. So laptops, computers, well, they partner together to get a laptop in front of a kid. So now the kid has the laptop and he can learn the skills he needs to advance in school and to possibly go to college. So they were nonprofits that actually started teaming up together. So just bringing them together and understanding that there's all these bits and pieces, but the picture is actually is much bigger.
So beyond the foundation, what else does Family Trust do as far as community outreach, community support?
Probably the biggest thing is we have a all-free electric bus system in Rock Hill. The city of Rock Hill was looking to provide transportation. Rock Hill's a growing city. Like I said, it's a suburb of Charlotte. Roughly, I think it's about 80,000 people in the city, and in the county is about 300,000 people. So it's growing, and I think there's a need for transportation. Winthrop University's right here, which I think undergrad's about 4,000, 4,500 kids. So you're starting to see a need for just getting around. So the city of Rock Hill proposed all of that electric bus system in the city to provide people the ability to get to work, get to class, get to the grocery store, whatever they needed in a growing city. Ourselves, along with Winthrop and Piedmont Medical, which is a hospital here, became the key sponsors along with the city to provide that bus system for free. And so that's a huge thing. We're giving back to the community to make sure people do have the ability to get to work. They do have the ability to get to the doctor. They do have the ability to get to school. They have the ability to get around town, and they're not handcuffed by maybe not having a car or whatever. And I think no matter where you live, the cost of living is going up. We like to say we're a little insulated here. The Carolinas seem to be a little insulated as far as inflation and all these other things, but you can definitely walk down the street right here where I am, and they're renovating a lot of these old buildings, but you can definitely see the bus stops right down the road from me, and there is 20, 30, 40, 50 people every hour on the hour getting on the bus, moving the bus. So to have that impact and be able to provide transportation with people that previously either were walking, riding a bike or whatever, goes a long way into helping our community do better and to excel.
So how did you get involved in that? You said this was something that was proposed by the city, like they were the instigator for it.
They absolutely were. The city of Rock Hill, we have a pretty good relationship with the mayor. He's always been a pretty good proponent of us. So when the opportunity came about, he approached us. We do take pride, and we are the only financial institution headquartered in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I think that went a long way. We've been here since 1957. He approached us knowing that we were headquartered here, that we were kind of the footprint financial institution. There's tons of competition here, but nobody's headquartered here. So they approached us. We felt like it was a great opportunity to give back to the community. It's another way. And we've been doing that since 2018. So that's a little bit longer even than the foundation. But that kind of aligns with, I'm not saying it was a prerequisite to the foundation, but again, it gets you thinking on how do you make an impact and how can you do things a little bit different? How do you bring people together and see how beneficial working together, giving back to the community and providing maybe skills or transportation or whatever it is, how it can help them do better in life. And thus, as a credit union, you're going to be successful, because if your consumers are doing better, your members are doing better, you become better.
So what's the hard part of this? Because you've clearly kind of gone a little above and beyond for what you normally see, you know, particularly creating an outside organization to kind of do that from the grant making standpoint. Like what are like the big challenges if somebody wants to kind of go down this path to do something similar?
I think the big thing is you got to get other people with like mindsets. You've got to get people that are volunteers, truly volunteers. We're not paying anybody to do this foundation work. We truly reached out, tried to engage with other influential people in the community that have either participated on other nonprofit boards or just have a heart for that. And that was probably the biggest thing, is finding the right people to run this foundation that had a vision for what it could do, the impact it can make in the community. The cool thing is I'm not from this area, but everybody in this area likes to say Football City, USA, Rock Hill. And I think the statistic is something along per capita more NFL players come out of this city than any other city in the country or something like that. So you can, there's three local high schools and there's a lot of NFL players. And we're lucky enough to have a former NFL player on our foundation board. And he knows some people, right? So he's able to get that philanthropic voice out there. And no matter what it is, sports brings people together, and people they'll resonate with him. He'll be like, hey, we're trying to raise money for this, or hey, I'll do a football camp and I'll put my name on it and we'll raise money for the foundation. And he does it out of the gracious of his heart. I mean, he's, you don't need to pay me for this. I want my community to better. I grew up in this community. I went to high school in this community. I want this community to do great. And he does mentorship on the side for other young athletes trying to become professional football players or go to college and play football. And he just said, hey, I'll do it as part of the foundation as well. I'll do it to benefit the Community Partnership Foundation because I know it's benefiting the community. People like that is probably finding those people that are willing to do it for, I guess I would say, the right reasons, or for because they believe that's what they were drawn to, or that's what the community needs, is probably the most difficult part, getting those people with that philanthropic heart and mindset.
I mean, it's interesting because it sounds like what maybe your bigger value add is as an organization is kind of providing that locus, that like, here's the starting point, you know, for people that are interested in this, for people that have a heart or are mission focused around what, you know, that element of kind of helping Rockhill and helping those constituents. It's kind of giving them a way to get started, or a way to, you know, come along with what we're doing. This isn't our show. I mean, clearly, because you do this under a separate 501c3, we're here to kind of give you the stage, to give you the way to make the impact, and to help at the opportune time with things like funding and volunteers and space and, you know, other things to kind of give it a boost. Which is an interesting approach, because that's not normal a lot of times to see that.
Yeah, I guess the way we translate it to the credit union too is we give everybody a volunteer PTO day. So if they see a nonprofit or a foundation that they resonate with or they like, hey, go volunteer, see if you like it. So it is trying to get more people involved, more people engaged in it. And you're right, it's not about PR. I mean, do you get PR out of it? Absolutely. But it's truly about making the community that we serve just better. We want the people in this community to do well. And when they think about, hey, who can help me, or who can do well, or who can guide me in the right direction, or who can give me a foundation for whatever it is, it's Family Trust or it's the Community Partnership Foundation.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. If anybody's interested in more about what you do in your approach or Family Trust or the Community Partners Foundation, where can they go for more information?
You can go to the Community Partnership Foundation website, which is thecommunitypartnershipfoundation.org, or you can shoot me an email. It's first initial, last name, so R Harvey, H-A-R-V as in Victor, E-Y, at familytrust.org.
Great. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
This has been Behind the Vault, a production of Mindspan Systems, helping community FIs provide service like no other. Learn more at mindspaninc.com. If you're a community bank or credit union leader and have a story to tell, please visit behindthevaultpod.com/guest. That's behindthevaultpod.com/guest. If you found this episode useful, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts, as that helps other FI leaders like you find the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for more insider stories from community banking on Behind the Vault.